Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
And right now, this is relevant, you know, so they'll see a shop every other corner for whatever they need, you know, for stress relief and all of that. So why not captivate it in their own store? You know, they have a customer coming in and they can just do this. So again, it's really knowing who you want to target and who, you know, is it just higher end price point? Is it just beauty stores, or do you just want to open it up? So I think I would start with iSpa for you, looking at that. But then I would say do some of the regional shows. There's Cala, and Cala has now a few shows. There's a few local shows that you could do. An Orange County one. There's Men's that has Men's and Women's. So there's a few. I'll think about that and give you a few more names. But I think right now for yourself, you can really open it up to anywhere you want it to be, because I think everyone is looking for that. They're looking for things that it's, you don't need a size. You don't have returns for the most part. I think everyone's looking for how to relieve their stress, reduce their migraines, you know, bloatingness, whatever it is that you have in your product line. Someone is looking for, a lot of people are looking for. So I think you'd be surprised at how opened it could be. It's just, again, being vigilant with calling and contacting people and sending emails out and making it that little niche that sets you apart from other brands.
I love it. Thank you. That's so helpful. I actually never really thought about the smaller retailers. And I think, to your point, you know, it's an extra item that they could upsell their customer, whoever's coming in for clothes or jeans or whatever. And they can say, hey, by the way, we've got this product. And in terms of if I were to participate in any of these shows, would the show provide a list of the lead list or the list of the buyers that attend the show so that I can follow up later on? Or am I going to lean on solely on the buyers that come to my table or my booth?
Well, that's what we're trying to change a little bit. There are many shows that are open and forthright with their information. San Mateo is one that does that. OC does that. But the larger ones like Magic and Win and Curve, they are a little less forthcoming with information. So that's what we're trying to really ask and press on their media team to really be open. They sometimes use the excuse that the buyers don't want to be inundated with emails and phone calls. So it's really a catch. We understand that, and we want to maintain that dignity of not invading people, but we also ask at the very least, a list of who showed up. Mm. You know, maybe city and state. Of course, name city and state. So we can at least look it up ourselves. I mean, yes, time consuming, but we know we have an audience and we know they were there. So I would say we'll at least be getting that from many people.
And if buyers are coming to your booth, what's recommended generally for you to obtain their information or take their business cards or?
Yeah. Well, I think it's, I mean, we feel it out. Of course, someone walks over to the booth and there's a little sensitivity there because they don't want to be trapped, you know, and that's why it's interesting, because it used to be just open air booths. You would go and everyone was out and people could see everything. Well, now, because of COVID, that shifted a lot and we're doing a lot more hotel room shows.
Wow.
So, which, you know, have worked out well, but again, it's really hard because how do you trap someone? How do you get someone in your suite? You know, we're doing them in many cases at Embassy Suites because they have that front window that opens. So at least you can hang something or you can have a rack and someone might walk in. But, you know, you have to catch them. You know, do people really want to come into your hotel room? So that's been a catch 22. So it's still navigating and we're still learning it. We're getting back to more of the convention room shows, But again, they're on a smaller scale, and we'll see how it goes. But if someone walks over into either your suite or your booth, you make conversation. I mean, that's really what it is. It's the same with someone walking into your store. They're not looking for anything, but they happened in. So what do? You make conversation and then show them something. You know, hopefully someone that walks into a booth at the show, or someone that walks into your suite, is looking to buy. You know, they want to find something that they love. They want to find something different. So all you have to do is really give them that zinger, that one thing or that little sales pitch, and sell it to them, because they really do want to buy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
But I'm assuming if you're a newer brand, and if you're in that setting where you're in a hotel room and people don't really know the brand, they might not even walk in, right? So would you suggest maybe partnering with another brand that's not competitive to start with? At least now, until things open up a little bit, would be a better idea for us, for example. Right. If we wanted to participate in the show, the thought of me being in a hotel, I feel like no one will walk in. Right. They'll be passing by.
Right. Well, that's why, you know, earlier I think I mentioned, just try to find a rep that you could either rent a little space, say, hey, I can give you 500, that whatever it is that you negotiate, and say, you know, can you just take it? I'll give you some brand knowledge on it. So you'll go over it, so they know what they're talking about. You might have little samples that you give away, and then they'll come back to you with feedback. And hopefully it's someone that you trust. And, you know, you might not get orders initially. I mean, I even remember, for instance, doing the Pacific Northwest show. They're lovely people. The buyers were wonderful, but they didn't walk into my showroom. And I had to do 4 or 5 shows, which was an investment, I know, but now it's a better territory for me. Wow. So the investment proved wise, not always, but you know, you'll never know. You'll never know until you do it. So you might think that you've got the best product, and Pacific Northwest or East Coast or whatever is the best territory. It might not be. It might not be for you. So find out. Now, of course, it could be the person you chose to bring it to. Maybe they didn't like it, whatever. There's a myriad of reasons, but you have to take the plunge and take the first step and see. Otherwise, you'll never know.
Thank you. That's very helpful. In terms of the rep, let's say I just want to test and do something quick and see if, you know, the rep will take my product, do I need to talk about commission at that point and solidify that?
Well, yeah. And most times a rep will negotiate that. They're, you know, we're not forthright about that. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, go in with somewhat of an understanding of what you're looking for. I mean, a lot of times now reps have decided that you need to pay a monthly fee and then a show fee and then this fee and that fee. There's a lot of fees plus a commission. Don't be alarmed that those are going to be very valid questions, and rightly so. You know, a showroom from this point of view, just so you know, because people go, oh my gosh, this was so egregious. How could they ask for this? This is real estate. So like you were doing a pop-up, or like you were renting a space even for a month, you're paying rent, whether you sell one thing or you sell nothing. So you have to look at it that way, that this is real estate and you're there. So you're displayed. Someone might walk in, someone might not, but those are the chances that you have to take. But with that, there's also a little legway for a little negotiation. I mean, you can say, look, I'm starting out. I don't want to exhaust all of my beginning funds, and I don't want to exploit you, you know, and I don't want you to feel compensated. So where can we meet in a middle ground? I was thinking maybe this, does that work for you? And then you'll see a counter. Maybe she'll counter, he'll counter, maybe they won't, maybe you'll come up and it'll be a beautiful relationship. But, you know, have a conversation with it. And I think if you're really authentic about it and they see that, you know, no one wants to exploit either party.
And my last question about the reps is in terms of finding a good one and maybe possibly checking their references. Is that something we should do just to make sure that we're not dealing with someone who is who doesn't have a good reputation. Because one of my concerns was, well, I want to find a good rep. I don't want to jeopardize my brand and put it in the wrong hands that might, you know, how would we go about that?
Sure. I'm not sure what there is in terms of finding out, you know, someone's likability or someone's ethic. I mean, obviously, you could maybe go to the building office. Mm-hmm. That might be something, and say, hey, you know, I know you have a tenant here. I'm looking for, and I don't know how much they'll tell you, but I'm sure they've heard things, and you know, they'll probably organically just say, oh, you know, tough rep, but great, or, you know, so you'll see. I mean, they might have heard something. I mean, other than just going and finding out, which I don't know how you even find out how you'd find that. The only other way, now that I'm thinking about it, is maybe you would just look at the brands that they carry.
That's what I was going to say.
And call the brands, you know, and say, yeah, hey, I know you've had this long relationship. Obviously, you know, they have worked well for you because they're representing you. But can you tell me how long have you represented with them, or are they easy to work with? I know they're probably doing an amazing business, but any difficulties? You know, I'm new to this business and I'm just trying to find out, is there anything you can share with me that would be helpful? We have non-compete line, you know, I'm in the health and wellness.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. The other thing, on another note, you could also see some of the stores that might carry that line. You know, maybe go into the store owner and say, hey, I'm new to this business. I see you carry so-and-so. Do you work well with the rep? Do you, anything you can tell me? Because I'm looking, because then that's not a, you know, there's no competition there. Another manufacturer might think, oh, well, she's going to take time away from me, but this person. So maybe it would be better suited to do something like that.
I love that. I love that. Actually, you're right.
Yeah. Because going that just to, came to me. Just that, came that, to me.
I feel like that's so much better than going after other brands and saying, hey, you know, how,
right,
you know, because
right,
the rep will eventually find out that you're, yeah, you're doing a little background check on them. So I really
me
like
too.
That.
That sounds like a better, yeah. Scratch the first, go that way.
And it's so amazing how, you know, I feel like you shared so much valuable information in terms of how to be creative, even if you do have a smaller budget. These are some things that anybody can do. You don't have to be super tech savvy or super connected or whatever. You could just implement these strategies and get the ball rolling and test out. And I've been wanting to do it. It's just, for me, it was, I think the idea that I had about the fashion industry 20 years ago, and knowing how much it has changed, for me, it was just overwhelming. I was like, I don't even know where to start from. And because it was very structured before. It was very organized, structured. And, you know, if you wanted to get in, you had to have a rep, and all these things had to be in place. Big budgets, big shows, all of this. And I love that you gave me a perspective of the simpler sort of path. But I do want to bring back something that you mentioned, how you give back to the community and how you're helping out. I would love to learn a little bit more about that. What is it exactly that you are helping them with, teaching them?
It's a marketing and merchandising course. You know, a lot of these new young bees want to come in, and I see them and they're all, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and 17 to very, you know, much older, starting a second career or third career. And it's wonderful, and I'm glad, and the world needs all that. And I love the injection and the surgence of newness. But it's just also trying to be somewhat realistic, you know, about the business. And it's very much questions like you're asking me, and the candid of just know that this is not an overnight. This is not an end. Passion is the best thing that you can have, but you really need to have your talent, and you need to pay your dues, and you need to work really hard and want it, but know that it's not going to just happen. And it's interesting, because having a young kid who's, you know, involved in the whole urban sneaker, loving the grunge, he loves all that. And, you know, he sees some of these YouTubers with millions of followers and he sees collaborations between Nike and Supreme or Nike and Travis Scott, and you know, and these shirts are, or any garment from head to toe is so expensive. And I look at this and go, how are these kids affording this? You know, where are they getting the budget for it? And how come, you know, I sometimes have struggles selling a $40 made in USA t-shirt, and then they have a t-shirt that just has like one little logo on it or one label on it, and it's a $300 shirt. So I'm trying to make sense of it all too. So while I'm trying to get back with my, you know, 30 years of experience, I'm also realizing that there's a lot that I don't know about that aspect of it. So it's a, you know, a catch. I like the give and take, so I can learn from them too, because it is an arena that I am so, I'm immersed in much more because I have someone in my life, my son, that's so involved in it and doing and making money from it. So I get it. It's very valid, very real, and I applaud it. But it's very different from, you know, this avenue that I've been in. And so I like to have that give and take so that I can maybe help them and they can give me some knowledge about it.
I love that. I think it goes back to influencer marketing that I emphasize so much. And I tell a lot of different businesses, whether they're service-based or product-based, that they really need to think about influencer marketing. And when you think about it, you shouldn't think about always celebrities like Travis Scott or Kim Kardashian, because they're going to cost you hundreds and thousands of dollars for you to partner with and have them endorse a product or do some kind of a partnership with you. But there are smaller influencers that you can potentially partner with. And if they like your product or service, then they can promote it for you. I mean, that's what I do with Roma Leaf, where I have micro and nano influencers who are usually anywhere below 70,000 followers and will either barter, you know, where I'll send them products. My team and I will send them products on a monthly basis and have them post and promote the product. Or in many cases, they'll come back asking for a fee to do certain things. And if it makes sense, we'll pay them a fee and have them promote the product. I love all the topics we covered because these are things that are really hard to find online to research and figure out how to navigate through the wholesale end of the business. And I wish there were more training and classes and courses on this. So I hope, you know, one day if you do decide to come up with any training and courses, you can come back and maybe share a little bit about that, because I would love a little bit more, I think, intense step-by-step sort of guide.
We can do that. I mean, I can work on something.
It would be so fun, you know, to be able to know that I can go and access and at the end of the day, it's saving time. If your wealth of knowledge can save me time and others time and money, then hey, you know, I think we're doing amazing work here helping other people. But anything else before we end, if you were to give one advice to someone who is out there really trying to push their fashion brand or beauty brand or whatever product it is, and get bigger retailers, what's that one thing? What's the takeaway that you would say before we end?
Gosh, well, it's kind of a dichotomy. It's like stay in your lane in terms of the route you want to take, but be diverse. Just be diverse in it. And by that, I just mean, you know, the sky is the limit and you can do anything you want. However, just be steadfast, you know, where don't be all over the place. Just focus on the area you want to be in, because if you can't be all things to all people. So know who you want to target and just go after that. Just go right after that. And you can do, you know, anyone can do it. We've seen anyone can do it. And just don't believe everything that you see. Everyone pumps sunshine somewhere and tells you something and promises the moon and the stars. And by that, I don't mean, you know, be non-believing in people, you know, but just follow your gut, follow your heart and gut of right and wrong. And it hopefully will happen, you know, hopefully it will happen. But if you put in the time and the effort and the energy, something will happen. It might take you from one level to an area you never even experienced or never were exposed to. Maybe not the route you took, maybe not the direction of the route that you were taking, but something will bring you to the next level. And it's supposed to be your path. So just follow it.
I love it. Thank you so much, Valerie. This has been so helpful to me personally, and I'm so confident a lot of our listeners are going to be so thankful for all this amazing information you just shared with us. And I will share your information in our description and everything if anybody wants to get in touch with you. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
And we hope we'll have you back one day again. And maybe, you know, next time I'll have some updates on what my journey is like with the wholesale end of Roma Leaf. And I can pick your brain on additional things that are a little bit more complex, I guess. But thank you. I appreciate your time and have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.